close your eyes, and I want you to pray for me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you've given to us. We thank you for this time we get to spend together. Father, I just pray that your word is spoken out here, not my words, but your word. A word for each person and a word for their soul, a word for their spirit and a word for their heart and a word for their family and themselves. Lord, I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all said?
Amen.
Amen. God is good, yes? That's right, right? The title of this sermon is Who's Leading Who? I don't know, anybody ever been outside and see people walk dogs? And you wonder like, whoa, who's leading who there? All right? It's a question sometimes. That dog just wants to go wherever, and that person is dragged and dragged and dragged. And some might say that that person doesn't have control over that dog. And we'll get to talk about that in a little bit. But what I'm talking about is who's leading who? Who is leading who? Inside of each one of us, there is a struggle, a power struggle. Inside each one of you and me and each one of us, there's a power struggle, you see. And the struggling parties or the struggling entities each want victory. Each side wants to win, right? So if you walk a dog and the dog is pulling you, that dog wants to just go. There's a struggle there, and that leash is... it's like tug of war. Each side wants to win. Each side wants to lead. Each side wants to have control. All right? And one side always wants to have complete submission of the other side. Why don't you just stop and I'll pull you this way? We talk to the dogs all the time. Slow down. Stop. Go over here. Put our treats out so they follow you, or you lead them rather than them leading you. And so the struggle within, inside of us wants to, some side wants to win. Some side wants to give out, and some side wants to have control over the other and lead the other. And so I want you to turn your Bibles to Galatians. The book of Galatians, and I might get there, who knows. As you turn there, it's the book of Galatians, and I want you to turn to chapter 5. I'm going to take you through some scriptures here, because we all know that this thing we call our Bible is the inspired, written Word of God. Amen? And so we can read it as such. And so in Galatians chapter 5, I want to read... Verse 17. This gives us a picture of what the two sides are. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants to do. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. And these two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So the two sides we have here is the Spirit versus your sinful, or we call it in Christianese, your fleshy desire, your flesh. And so Paul here in Galatians details the struggle, and you can read in Romans chapter 7. I'm not going to read through it, but you should read through it. But in Romans chapter 7, there's the struggle, and Paul details that struggle between sin and flesh, or between spirit and flesh. What that struggle is over the fleshy desires to satisfy all of the lusts and all of the pleasures of the flesh. And when we look at this in Romans 7, it goes through all of these sinful desires, all of the wrong desires, all of that desires that create problems within our life. And I mean, we all know them. We all live life. We all know what they are. They're the things that we choose to do that cause problems. All right, let's make no joke about it. We all know what they are. We all know what it is. It's the things in our life that we choose to do that cause issues. Maybe not right now, because it feels good right now. It seems right right now. But later on, we say, oh, shoot, I shouldn't have done that. Oh, shoot, I shouldn't have chose that way. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. If we turn in our Bibles to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, it says here, "For the world offers only cravings for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions." And so see, we have these desires, and although these desires are strong, I'm not going to take that away from these desires, we really want them. You really want to have them. It pulls at you. I want this, I want this, I want this. Just look at a two-year-old. I want this, I want this. Noah does it all the time, our son Noah. But I want it. But I want it. You can't have it. But I want it. You can't do that. But I want to do it. But I want to. But I want to. And so these desires that he wants to do, that we want to do, are strong. And the Spirit is the only thing that can bring those desires under control. So there's a struggle. If you take tug of war, for example, one side pulls, and if our flesh sinful side pulls, the only way you can get it under control is if the other side pulls back. And so these desires are strong, and the only way we can get under control is by the Spirit within inside of us. And what is the Spirit inside of us? Well, when Jesus died on the cross, he rose again, and then they tarried and tarried in the upper room, and then they waited, and the Holy Spirit fell. And now we are able to have the Holy Spirit live inside of us, his Spirit, by the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, by believing and receiving the Spirit of God. Amen? So the Spirit of God that lives in you now is the tug of war. The Spirit wants you to do this, and your fleshy human desire wants to do these other things. And so there's a... when our spirit is weak, our flesh is strong and opposite, right? When we are weak in our spirit... Nina and I sometimes have this talk where we're talking about, well, you know, I haven't really read my Bible that much. I haven't prayed, and I'm getting mad. I'm getting angry. I'm getting this and that and the other thing. That's because we are allowing our spirit to become weaker, which means the flesh, the fleshy desires, the sinful desires are getting stronger. So what do we have to do? If we can recognize that, then we can counter that by getting into our word and praying and talking to God and getting our flesh to overcome, or getting our spirit to overcome our flesh. Amen? That's how it works. And when our flesh overcomes our spirit, when we allow that to happen, it results in sin. That's the result. And we know in Romans it says, "For the wages of sin is..." death. So when we allow our flesh to be in control, it brings us to that sinful place, and that sinful place is a problem. It's a problem. It's an issue, and we're going to talk about that. Let's turn to James. Are y'all with me?
Yes,
all right, amen. Praise God. All right, James. James chapter 1, I want to go to verse 13. James chapter 1, verse 13 very simply says this. It says, "And remember, when you're being tempted, do not say, 'God is tempting me.' God is never tempted to do wrong. And he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires." Those would be the fleshy desires, the sinful desires. They come from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. And these desires then give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. That's the process that happens. And if some of us have been through situations and we chose to go with our own desires, we have found out that down the road, it's exactly what it says here in verse 15. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and then sin is allowed to grow and grow and grow, and then death occurs. Maybe in a relationship, maybe in financial situations, maybe in whatever it is. But when we choose incorrect decisions or do things because we want to, then becomes the issue. Then becomes the problem. It leads to death. Whether it be in finance, whether it be in relationships, whether it be in whatever it is, when we choose our flesh desires, it leads to death in that area. Amen? If it's finances, oh, I want a new car. Boom, death in that area. If it's not, if it's a, I want. Right? New house. If it's I want, then that's going to lead to problems. You understand what I'm saying? If it's a relationship that, oh, I like this part of the relationship. I like this. Whenever I want to, we can get it on and whatever. I like it. Like, it's great. It leads to issues. Am I right? I'm right. I know, because the word says it. I'm not saying anything the word didn't say. All right? I'm just putting it in context. Amen? Amen. All right? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'm just going to go through the word. All right? The word is good. Amen? It's common sense. It's common knowledge to understand that if God gave you this book as a manual, use it. Use it. Why? Because the word brings life. Sin brings death. Right? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's go to verse 27. I always like this scripture because I'm in athletics. You know, I'm in that area in my career. I discipline my body like an athlete, train it to do whatever it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. This is Paul talking, saying that, hey, look, I need to train myself to be spirit-led, to be led by the word, so that people can see how to live a spirit-filled life. Otherwise, what I'm preaching to them is just wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah. That's from Peanuts. Charlie Brown, the teacher. I did it well? All right. Thank God. So, I mean, what we have here, y'all understand what I'm saying? It's nothing new you don't know. It's a reminder. It's a reminder to our lives to say, hey, whoa, wait a minute here. What am I doing with my life? Am I choosing the right places to go, or am I choosing the wrong desires? And then reaping what you sow. Right? We all understand the you reap what you sow. That principle is biblical. Right? You get what you give, you reap what you sow, right? Those type of things. Some people in the world would call that karma. You know, before that it was the principle of reap and sowing. Right? Okay. It's a real simple thing. And so when you desire to serve God, the flesh doesn't understand the gospel. The flesh in our life, the fleshy side of us, doesn't understand the word of God. It doesn't get it. And so if we are on this side of things and we follow our wrong desires, then we live in this law of what they call law of carnality, the law of the flesh, where I get to do whatever I do and whatever I want to do and whatever I say. And some people, you know, and this leads to pain and agony and lusting after certain things. And we all know that then lusts for after certain things and our passions are over here. And that then leads to sin. Sin leads to death. But my spirit side, our spirit side accepts and understands the gospel. Understands the word of God. And so now that our spirit side is there, it can then have the power to restrain me from pursuing the sinful desires. But we have to have some sacrifice. We have to stop and think about what it is we're doing. There's a sermon that I preached in youth about filters, about coffee filters and things like that. Well, we live in a world that is, well, you live in that same thing, so you know what I'm talking about. And so we have to have these filters that say, okay, is this God or is this not God? Amen. Is this a fleshy issue or is this something that's spirit thing? You know what I'm saying? Is this from God or is it not from God? There has to be some filters in our life because we get bombarded with all this stuff all the time. Just turn on the TV. You get bombarded with crud and these certain things, and we have to have these filters that allow us to say, okay, I don't, okay. And that's my spirit saying, that's not good. I don't need to remember that. I don't need to do that. I don't need to be there. But when we look at certain things and we say, oh, I want that. I want that. And I'm going to do anything in my power and my body to do that, that might not be necessarily a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but it might not be a good thing. Yeah. We have to have a filter to know the Spirit-led life. Amen? Now, here's my story about the dog. You guys like dogs? Oh, yeah. How many got dogs? You like dogs? Dogs are awesome. I love dogs, except the little ones we have. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm not. Here's a story that it's a little thing I made up here, okay? So it says, a man is training an animal, right? A man is training an animal. And whoever is, I mean, ever trained something or tried to train your dog or a horse or whatever it is, right? Okay, yeah, okay. Kids. All right. All right, so a man or a woman or whatever it is, right, is training an animal. In order to do that, we have to impose our will on them to get them to not do what we don't want them to do. Some people call that parenting. Some people call that training. Whatever it is you want, right? So a dog, take this for example, a dog, most of you have dogs, right? Okay. A dog may wish or may want to eat every little thing that you didn't eat for dinner that's in the trash bag or in the trash can. Yes? They want to do that. They smell it. Smells good, right? That might be their fleshy desire to want that. But you know that if they get into the trash, what's going to happen? They're going to make a mess. And they might get into something that is not good for them. Okay? So now, the owner then, you, me, whoever has a dog, right, or whatever it is, must train the dog to leave that food or that area alone. If they get into it, there's some consequences, right? But if you ever train a dog not to pee in the house, because that's something that they just want to do, they just want to pee everywhere. Right? Kids are the same way. They could just pee and poop wherever they want because that's what they want to do. They feel that urge, and they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do, so they just want to go. So this dog is hungry, smells something good in the trash, gets into the trash, and that's their desire. That's their fleshy or their desire. And against you, if it's against what you train them to do, then they are disobeying what you told them to do. You train them to do. You understand? And so what happens? There's consequences, right? You get your little newspaper out, right? Or you take them outside and you say, you know, whatever, right? And then a little bit later, you're like, okay, let's try again. Oh, I love you, right? This training is unnatural to their fleshy desire. Your will or the will of whoever owns that dog has to be great and put upon them, and they have to submit then to that will. They need to submit to you. Right? You train a dog to sit. Sit. If it doesn't sit, what do you keep doing? Sit. You keep talking, sit. 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 Sometimes you go to me, put their butt down, sit. Here's a treat. Sit. Right? Okay? Right? The treat is a good thing so that they can learn what is good and what is not good to do. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you put that in the context of what we're talking about, wrong desires, sinful desires, and spirit desires, who is our master? The Lord. Amen. See, the animal only has fleshy desires. If you put us as that animal, then we have fleshy desires. But, we have been trained to understand the ways, and most of us have probably grown up in some way, shape, or form, with some form of biblical training. Golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Right? The Ten Commandments. You know, most, even people who don't go to church, you ask them, what's Ten Commandments? They might spout off three or four of them. Right? You ask them what the golden rule is. They're going to tell you what the golden rule is. So that is biblical. So there is some training that has already been done just by what is good. That's biblical. So what we have to understand is that the master, or if it's you training the dog, you're the master. So you impose your will upon that animal. That's your spirit imposing what you want them to do, because you're not them. They're not you. So you have to impose on them kind of what you want them to do and teach them how to do it, so that the dog learns not to pursue their fleshy desire, because that might lead them to eat something wrong. They might suffer pain. They might have discomfort. They might have diarrhea. They might be so disobedient that they get out and do something that's weird, or run away and you find them in the street. I don't know. But you get the idea. The understanding of this, if I follow my fleshy desires, I'm going to get into something I'm not supposed to get into. And then what's the problem with that? I'm going to get into something I'm not supposed to get into, which is going to cause pain, discomfort. I might then leave, and you might find me on the road somewhere in my boxers or whatever. Who knows? But because of that disobedience, there's pain and suffering. Amen? Amen. So the question is then, who is leading you? Who is leading me? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Who is leading who? Is it your flesh leading you in fleshy desires, or is it the Spirit leading you in what the Spirit desires? What are these things? What are the things that are pulling at you on this side that are going to cause disobedience and is going to cause discomfort and pain? What are those things? Well, the Bible talks about them all over the place. The Word of God, our manual, talks about them all over the place. It's all over. Old Testament, New Testament, no matter where you look, it's there. You got what? Sexual immorality. You got impurity, you got lust, you got hostility, you got quarreling, you got jealousy, you got anger, you got selfish ambition, you have dissension, you have arrogance, envy, murder, idolatry, sorcery, drunkenness, wild parties, cheating, adultery, homosexuality, greed, stealing, lying. These are the things that might be wrong desires, fleshy desires that we want to do, because that's the side of us that wants to do that. And we know that it can bring us down the wrong road that can cause pain, suffering, whatever it is in our relationships. Amen? Some of us have been through some of those things, and we know firsthand that they cause problems. Amen? Praise God that we came out of that. Amen? That's good news. That's good things. These things are present in lives because people neglect to follow their spirit life. You know how I know this? Because I've been there. I have friends who've been there. We all have been there in some place and point in time in our lives, and we just say, oh, you know what, God, who cares? God's not real. And then we wonder why bad things happen sometimes. The word tells us all over the place. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
Are y'all hearing the word?
Yes. Come
on. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 and 8 basically gives us this. It says, So the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never obeys God's laws, and it never will. And that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful desires can never please God, because they're always trying to please their fleshy side of their life. They're always looking for that next fix or that next thing, or when am I going to be happy? It's another pay. Give me 5 more paychecks this month, and I'll be happy. It'll solve all my problems. Let me just find this next fix or this next shot of heroin. Let me find this next bar. Where's this bar at? Let me find this next thing, because it will solve my problems, only to wake up the next day and we still have those problems. So it says in verse 8, that's why the people who are still under the control of their sinful nature never please God, because we're always trying to please the other side. We always want to please what we desire, what we want to do. I want to do that. It feels good. It feels great. But the fleshy desires can never obey God. They can never please God. Those people, you know, that's a good song, Mom. Keep it going. It's all right. That's good. That's a good song. Let's go. That's right. I want to be fearless too. Right? Let's just play that. I want to be fearless. How about you? That's good. That's good. We're no longer slaves to fear, right? That's another thing. And so those who live by fleshy desires cannot please God. That's where we are at, right? So the spirit then has to bring the body under Christ. We have to then submit to Christ as our master, or as our Lord and Savior, and that then will help bring our flesh under control. Amen? When we allow the spirit to be brought up, then the flesh becomes less and less and less. When we do this kind of a thing, oh, it's a good day. Oh, it's a bad day. Oh, it's a good day. Oh, it's a bad day. Today I'm going to praise God and my worries are gone. Thank you, Jesus. Tomorrow I curse God and my problems are back. You see, when we play this roller coaster game, then we have a problem. But if we can control by the Spirit and be Spirit-led, and let the Spirit of God lead our lives by the Word of God and the instruction, then the flesh desires are down and our spirit desires are up. Amen? See, so those who live by fleshy desires cannot please God, and so the Spirit must be brought in under Christ's submission, and then it will bring the flesh under control. In Romans chapter 8, again, I'm going to read a couple verses here, and I want you to read along with me. We're going to start in verse 8, and we're going to start in chapter 9. It says this, "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. It says here then in verse 10, it says, as Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. That's good news. The Spirit of the living God lives in you. Spirit gives us life because you have been made right with God. Verse 11, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. Verse 12 says this, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, that's talking to you. Therefore, y'all, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Verse 14 says this, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. And I like that last verse. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So who's leading who? If we're not led by the Spirit of God, who are we led by that is controlling your life? So who's leading who? When you're on a walk with a dog, who's leading who? Because when you're on a walk with a dog, if that dog is leading you, it's taking you wherever it wants to go. But if you're leading that dog and you've trained that dog to a point, then you're leading the dog and it will go wherever you want it to go. In the same fashion then, if we're letting our fleshy desires control where we go, then we're going to go wherever those fleshy desires take us. If we are controlled by the Spirit of God within inside of us, then you're going to let the Spirit of God, and God leads you wherever He wants you to go. Amen? Which is always a better place. It's always good. Amen? John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I'm going to read two verses here. I'm going to read verse 17. It says this, and He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. I can stop right there. He is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you that leads you to all truth. Well, I don't know what I'm here for. I don't know what I'm doing for. I don't know what this is for. I don't know why God does this. The Holy Spirit will lead you to all truth. The world cannot receive Him because they aren't looking for Him. If you're not looking for somebody out there, you ain't looking for them. They ain't going to find them. I liken that scripture to those Where's Waldo books. Anybody ever looked at those? Where's Waldo? If you're not looking for Waldo, who are you looking for? You just see a bunch of people right there. But if you're looking for Waldo, then what? You're going to find him. And when you find him, then it says He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truths. The world can't receive Him because they aren't looking for Him and they don't recognize Him. But you know Him. But you know Him because He lives with you, and Jesus is talking about He'll later be within you, because He's talking to disciples before. That's verse 17. If you go to verse 23, it says this. Jesus replied and Jesus said this. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them and will come and make our home within each of them. Because the Spirit on the inside allows us to know the Father, to know what God's all about, to know His role in your life, to know where He wants you to go. And it says there, then, my Father will love them and we will come and make our home with each of them. You see, Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit will come inside each one of us and be here helping us live our lives, leading us to where He wants us to be. That's good news, amen? If we go back to Romans chapter 7, and we start in verse 5, it says this then, when we were controlled by our old nature. Sinful desires were work within us, and the law aroused those evil desires. We're talking about the law of carnality. Aroused those evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. Now, I may not be talking about physical death, but we're talking about death of some point, of some kind. If we move on then to chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, it says, now this, but understand this, God says, but hold on, but now listen. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. You see, we might have lived by our fleshy desires, but now when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we try to live spirit-led lives, it says, now this, now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin. Basically, it's saying to you, it says this, when we accept Christ and live in our heart and strive to live that Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life, then we're no longer now subject to what the flesh wants because we have that in check. And we say, no, that's not of God, so I ain't going to do that because I have the Spirit living on the inside of me, so I do what the Spirit wants me to do. Amen? No longer what I feel like I should do because I feel like it. If we move on then, it says that the law of Moses was unable to save us because the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And that body declared to end the end, an end to sin's control over us by giving a son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Amen. If we move then to 1 Corinthians, I believe that this portion is now, I'm just going to let the Word speak for what the Word wants to say. Chapter 6, verse 17, basically says this, but the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. And then jump down to verse 19, says, don't you realize that your body then is now the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and is given to you by God? So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit that lives inside, the Jesus that lives inside of you, the temple of the living God. The temple of the living God is you, me. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Where am I at? 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, it says this. It says, and what union can there be between God's temple and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Say, I am a temple of the living God. Come on, I am the temple of the living God. For we are temples of the living God, and God said, I will live in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out among the unbelievers and separate yourselves from them, says the Lord. Don't touch the filthy things, and I will come to you, and I will be your father, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Saying that God lives inside each and every one of us, we can no longer now touch filthy things, be involved in filthy things. Be involved in those sin desires or those flesh desires that we talked about earlier. Immorality, impurity, lying, cheating, stealing, adultery, those things. Lusts. If we go then back to Romans chapter 8. If we then look at 5 and 6. 5 and 6 tells you that those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. If you're dominated by hate, that's all you think about. Hate. I hate this. I hate that person. I hate that. That's all you think about. If you're dominated by sex and wanting sex all the time, that's all you think about. Sex. Same thing, money, 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 money. Drink, 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 drink. Where am I going to get my next needle? Where am I going to get my next pill? Where am I going to this and that and the other thing? That's all you think about. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about those sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. Amen? That please the Spirit. Letting the Spirit take control. Let the Spirit take control. We do this by letting God take control. Letting the Spirit side of your life take control. Letting the Spirit lead you where it wants to go. Letting the Spirit lead you makes a way for you to live fully in the Spirit and live fully the way God designed you to live, the way God made you to live. What does this mean? What does this mean? How did God make me live? How did God make me to live? Well, Galatians 5:22 says, you know, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control, gentleness. Those things are from the Spirit. That's the fruit of the Spirit. So letting your Spirit take control, letting the Spirit lead you, then makes a way for you to live fully in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. To do what? To love people. To love your life in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. To love other people. To be joyful and not negative. To be peaceful and not the opposite, you know, all these. To be these things and not the opposite. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and to have self-control. The word says, for these things there is no law against. There is nothing against these things. So these things are all good and they're all from God. And they're all a product of being led by the Spirit. So what does this look like? So instead of doing evil, you're doing good. Instead of being destructive, you're being productive. Instead of being angry or being quick to anger, you're slow to anger. Instead of being selfish, me, 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 you're self-giving. You're humble. Instead of being oppressive and possessive, you're liberating and you're nurturing. You allow that freedom. And yeah, you allow freedom for other people to do what they want to do. Whether that's wrong or right, that's between them and God. But what I do is between me and God. See, I can tell you a bunch of different things about the way you should live. And Pastor Calvin, Pastor Barbara, and anybody can tell you how to live your life. And because that's what the Word is telling us, how to live our life. But you're ultimately in charge of the things that you do. We're just trying to help you. The Word is trying to help you. Amen? See, and so instead of being evil, then be good, right? Instead of being oppressive, be liberating. Allow for freedom. Instead of being condescending, then be uplifting. Instead of pointing that finger, say, give a hand and lift up. Amen? Instead of being sinful, be holy. Instead of being deadly, live a life that gives abundantly. Amen? These things is what it means to be led by the Spirit. It means that we are led by the Spirit to produce these things in our lives. Why? So people can see what God is really about. What God is really like. That God is not some old man with a huge gold silver beard doing this kind of thing and stomping on people. So that God, we show God that God is really a God of love. And a God that has a will for your life. That God wants to lead you along the path of righteousness so that you can experience everything that he has for you to experience in his glory. Amen? How do we do this? How do you do this? How do we be led by the Spirit? Number one, we have to accept that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. When you believe that, when you receive that, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And when that happens now you know the difference between what sinful desires are and what the Spirit desires are. So now we need to build up our spirit and put down our flesh. Amen? So how do we do that? God leads you by his word. God leads you by his word. Say, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what to do. Have you picked up your word lately? Maybe you haven't. I encourage you to pick it up. Read it. See what God says about it, about your life, about what is it supposed to do. The first thing you can always do, God, I know God is my Savior. I know Jesus is my Savior. I know. Now I just want to not do these things. I want to do what God wants me to do. But I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, pick up the Word. Pick up the Word first and see what the Word says about what it is you're supposed to do. Amen? Amen. That's number one. The second thing we can do is strive to hear from God. Strive really hard to hear what God is trying to tell you to do. God leads by the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you. Amen? So listen to that. Listen to that, what they say, still, small voice inside of you. And remember, say, oh, that still small voice told me to go steal that car over there. That doesn't align with God's word. That's why number one is to pick up God's word. Right? Well, this small voice is yelling in my head that tells me I need to kill myself. I'm pretty sure that in the word, God says, kill yourself, right? No. Come on now. Well, God told me that. I needed to do this. I needed to do that. Well, if it aligns with God's word, then maybe. If it doesn't, it probably wasn't God. It might have been your own flesh desires that built up to say, hey, why don't you do this? Okay. Strive to hear from the Lord that's inside of you. The third way to be led by the Spirit, very simple, right? God leads you by giving you wisdom. When? When you ask for it. In James chapter 1, 5 through 6, do we have that? We have that scripture up there? James? I can go to it, but. If you need wisdom, ask. God, I don't know what to do in this situation. Well, if you need wisdom in a situation, guess what? Ask. So many times, I sometimes tell Nina, we just need to ask for it, I think. We don't ask for it. We assume that we're asking. Because in our head, we might be asking, but we're not asking. You say, you know what, God, I need this. That's not a question. I need a new car, God. That's not a question. That's a statement. God, can you make a way for a new car, please? Can you make a way? Can you bring that my way? Can you give me the wisdom to where I should go? Right? If you need wisdom, it says ask. That's the third thing. God leads by giving us wisdom. When? When we ask for it. The fourth thing, God leads us. I want you to turn to Psalms. Psalm. Psalm chapter 37, I think. Psalm chapter 37 says this, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. See, and verse 5 says this, commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he will help you. So the fourth way that God leads you is through the desires of your hearts, if and only if we are fully delighted in him. It says here, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do to the Lord, trust him, and he will help you out. So God leads you through the desires of your hearts if and only if you're delighting and committing everything to him. Doing what God, do what I want to do, what you want me to do. I trust in you to do what you want me to do. Lead me that way. If I feel like I'm supposed to do something, you better tell me that I'm supposed to do that, and I don't want it to be my own flesh wanting to do that. Because we just talked about, if I'm flesh-led, that's the leading to sinful issues, right? And sin leads to death. And in this case, it could be spiritual death. In some cases, your decisions could lead you to actual physical death. So God leads you through the desires of your hearts, but you have to. There's a condition. Take delight in the Lord. Commit everything you do to the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Amen? The last way that God leads is I want to take you to a book called Nehemiah. If you can turn to Nehemiah. It's Ezra, Nehemiah, Old Testament. Nehemiah chapter 1. And I'm going to read something, but I want to talk about Nehemiah for a second. It says in chapter 4, it says this, when I heard this, Nehemiah's talking, when I heard this, I sat down and wept. In fact, for days I mourned, fasted, and prayed to the God of heaven. This is a story of prayer. Concentrated prayer. God leads us as we persevere through and in prayer. What do I mean by this? Nehemiah was commissioned to rebuild the temple. And when he heard about it, he was obviously distraught about the temple being... So he prayed to God, and God told him, you need to go there, rebuild the temple. Okay. So he prays to God and says, hey, how do I do this? What do I need to do? I need to go do this. You tell me what I need to do. You give me all these things. You give me the direction, right? He prayed and mourned and fasted and prayed. And you can read through Nehemiah and all the way through chapter 6. And in chapter 6 is when the temple was rebuilt. But from this verse until chapter 6, Nehemiah was met with opposition the whole way. People did not want him to rebuild that wall and to rebuild the temple. He did not want them to do that. And things were happening left and right, and he was met with so much opposition that he was starting to be like, I don't know what I can do, I don't know what I can do. But he continued through prayer that God would make a way. God leads us, people, by persevering in prayer. Persevering in prayer to make a way for the desires of your heart, because you are committing all those things to God, and God will then answer the desires of your heart because we're persevering in prayer and we're leaning on God to make a way. Amen? Nehemiah, read the whole story, it's amazing. He built the temple through opposition, through a complaining people. People were complaining left and right. I'm sure there was more. But he was able to build that temple nevertheless. Why? When all odds were against him, there was a way that was for him. And the only way that he could muster up the strength to continue was that strength through prayer that God gave him, that the Spirit of God gave him to continue through opposition. So much in life, we see opposition and we cower. Oh, no. Oh, no. I can't do that. They won't let me do that. They're in the way. Well, if what you're supposed to do is led by God, God will make a way. Amen? Amen. Persistence, perseverance, and prayer, and God will make a way. God will allow you to do what it is you're supposed to do. If it's going into the most rural places in Mexico, God will make a way. If it's talking to your family about Christ, God will make a way. If it's going into prisons and doing those things, God will make a way when it doesn't look like there's a way. If there's issues in people's sickness and illness, God will make a way, but we have to persist and trust God. Hey, maybe God sends you to a great doctor. A doctor that believes. God can give those doctors wisdom. God can give those people wisdom just like they give you wisdom to do whatever it is they need to do. Amen? How do we be led by the Spirit? How do you live a led life? You got to submit yourself to God and let His Spirit reign true in your life. Let His Spirit lead you. Let God be God, and let your flesh desires just lay on the floor and stomp on those things and keep them down. Put a blanket on them. Don't let them come up. Get in the Word. Read about what it is you're supposed to be doing, what God has said about you. You're in here. All of you are in this Word. They call you disciples, followers of Christ, believers. You're in here, each and every one of you. They call you believers. And when the believers submit to God, trust in God, commit your life to God, get in the Word and understand what the Spirit of God wants you to do in life, and allow the Spirit to lead you, no longer are you led by your sinful desires, but you are now led by the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. I challenge you all this week to get into your Word. I challenge you all this week to flip-flop that. If you're led by your fleshy desires, it's okay. You know why? Because God made a way for you to turn. God made a way. If you're led by drugs and what I want to do and sex and this and that and the other and money and money and money and this and that and this, whatever it is, and you're not being led by the Spirit of God, I challenge you to make a difference. I challenge you to turn the other way. I challenge you then to commit yourself to follow the Spirit and to push down those fleshy desires. I'm challenging only because we're challenged. We're challenged every day by this thing. To do what it is we're just talked about. To be led by the Spirit. So I'm just telling you what, that's a reminder. And a challenge that, hey, let's flip-flop this. If we're fleshy, let's become Spirit-led. Let's become led by the Spirit. Let's become led by the Spirit in such a way that those people out there, they see it. And that makes them what? What's the matter with you? Why are you so different? Well, I trust God, and God makes a way. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning and we thank you for the word that you've given. I thank you for your word that's spoken. I thank you for your word that's written in our lives. Father, I want to just pray for each person here. Father, I thank you for them. I thank you for them, Lord. Father, Spirit, lead them. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit go forth in their minds and in their lives and lead them. make a way in their lives where it seems like there's no way. Or it seems like you're not answering. I ask you, Father God, show them and give them the answer. Make a way that we see your glory. Make a way that we see and we are led by your Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, your word gives us a challenge that's renewed every morning. The challenge is renewed every morning to live a life according to your will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for being the way, the truth, and the life. Let's say this together. I want you to repeat it to me. I said, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the only way. Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I lean on you. Jesus, I want you in my life. Leading me where you want me to go. And right now, Father God, I stomp on my flesh and I lift up my spirit to follow you each and every day. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Praise Him. Give Him glory. Hallelujah. For He is working a great work inside of you, and it will not stop until it is fulfilled. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Have a blessed week. Have a blessed week. I challenge each and every one of you to take up that word and to live Spirit-led and not flesh-led. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise you. Praise you guys for being here. God bless you. I thank you. Have a wonderful week. If you got a youth group age people, send them tonight at 5. If you want to make a donation to Oasis or let me know or put it in the box and just put Oasis on there. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen.